Our scripture for this morning is familiar, if not well enjoyed. Let's put it that way. Because it's the prophetic word. And not the prophetic word like we had from Isaiah, where the lion and the lamb will lay down and all the rest, but rather the prophetic word of now is the time and the place, and prepare the way of the Lord. Hear the words of John the Baptist from Matthew in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him in all the region of the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one is coming more powerful than I. He's coming after me. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." We all have our soundtrack for the season. And whether it's the mellow tones of Bing Crosby, "Wishing for a White Christmas," or the carols of our youth, or the high tinkle of the Salvation Army bell, it's the endless recording that lets us know that it is Christmas. These songs have a uniform quality about them, declaring the season of goodwill and cheer for all. And we can just sit back and listen and enjoy the hopes and beauties that they bring. It's all part of having Christmas be Christmas and setting the environment and being part of it. As with many of you, my soundtrack alert was set off with Melanie's prelude. Ah, yes, hallelujah indeed. The long tradition of my home congregation, 90 plus years, is seeing the Messiah in its entirety every Christmas season. And from about middle school on, I was invited to sit in the front and have the 4 weeks of rehearsal beforehand to learn and to sing the whole thing. So for me, that is absolutely my soundtrack. And what makes it even more so is during my youth, it was my father's voice occupying the tenor solos. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Made straight in the desert a highway for your God. And I'm quite sure that that voice and that singing will be with me my whole life. And from the very first strains all the way to Worthy is the Lamb, it's this story and this song that made this season for me. And it's part of finding comfort along the way. Which is odd to then try to find a place for the voice of John. The actual voice in the wilderness, preparing a way for the Lord just before this. I don't know about you, but calling people out and saying that the tree is about to be turned into the fire is not exactly where I want to go for Christmas. It's not part of my playlist. It's the Grand Scrooge saying bah humbug as far as the scriptures go, when all we really want is Tiny Tim wishing that God would bless us, everyone, along the way. Yeah, every year, here it is. And how do we go about reconciling the shoot of the stump of the jealousy and the little child from Bethlehem also being the one that wields the axe of destruction and is ready to condemn the unproductive trees to the unquenchable fire? And for what it's worth, we do recognize that these words of John aren't even part of the birth narrative. They declare what's about to happen, yes, but it's long after that. For Matthew, after Jesus' family has returned from Egypt and hiding in exile, and right before Jesus then appears and picks up the mantle of which he has spoken. So what do we do with all of this? And how do we fit John into our playlist for Christmas? I think sometimes we easily underestimate the disagreement between John and the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's part of how we do this, because after all, if we must deal with the harsh words of John and the whole big hair and eating locust scenes, the least that we can do is make his message palatable. And so we soften the edges a little bit and say, well, it's just John being John, and it's okay, because then Jesus comes and everything's all right. But I think we make a mistake in doing that, because it kind of misses some of what's going on here. I don't think we can fully capture what is being said and why exactly, because it's critical to the formation here. Even the central symbol that John is known for in baptism is one that says something to the people he's talking to. We often think of baptism as something that is wholly New Testament. If you go and look in the Old Testament, you don't have stories of people being baptized by the roadside and all the rest. That's something that comes after in Acts and in the epistles, and talking about how this went forward. But yet, the ritual of washing is well established within the Levitical law. And there's recommendations of how to remain clean and responsible members of Jewish society. You wash before a meal, you wash around menstruation, you wash when you've come in contact with unclean things in very specific ways. So washing tzitzit is common in Jewish practice. But baptism, immersion baptism, is actually reserved for only one thing. And that is when somebody wants to join the Jewish congregation. Unless you're born into the Judaic congregation from day one, you had to be baptized fully along the way. In addition to also observing all the other elements of Jewish law. And it's the very last step of becoming a Jew from a Gentile. So here's John out there in the wilderness, inviting people into the ritual that makes them actually Jewish. Here's John out there in the wilderness inviting the Pharisees to get baptized. He might even be saying, "Yeah, you're just Gentiles. You're just no different than anyone else off of the street." Is there a little wonder then that his voice is so controversial then and now, and that he had to be suppressed? When he stands knee-deep into water and invites people to come and take on a new life, he is changing and bursting a whole lot of bubbles. And beyond that, it doesn't take a great deal of imagination to translate "you brood of vipers" into the type of insult that carries across the centuries, no matter what the context might be. I don't think we can say that this is really all that soft and warm and cuddly after all. But yeah, I think we still need to hear a voice like this at Christmas. And it's good and right that we do so. Because in the layers of tradition and convention, we need the spiritual wake-up call to remind us that all is not well, and to point out to us time and again that while we celebrate the birth of a baby meek and mild, it's also the birth of a revolution in every way, shape, and form. This is talking about the beginning of the restoration of all humanity and the inauguration of the kingdom of God, and asks us to consider what might be ready for pruning in our own lives, in our own world, no matter what the season is. Part of what makes these admonitions so hard to hear is that we carry these things in our lives that we know don't bear the best fruit, or worse yet, pull us down in the kingdom. But yet it's these things that we hold on to so tightly. We come to them because they are our traditions. They are who we want to be. They are what we're used to. And they are also the sins that stand in the way of the transformation that God would effect in us and through us. And John asks us in these days to consider the way of Christ in its revolutionary love and to take a step back and consider what we might change along the way in order to live into that and through that and for that. We need this voice in Christmas because that is what Christmas is about. The coming of this change and change forevermore. And in order to do that, we need to always be willing at least to question the familiar and maybe leave it behind. The hardest semester for me at Goshen College had nothing to do with my academic load. It was actually the semester that followed my study service term in China. Because when I went to China, I was pulled out of my bubble and watched the whole thing pop around me as I was told, okay, now you are going to go teach and live in a place that you don't know, where you barely speak the language, just about enough to find the bathroom. And also to see the world as it is for what it is in ways that I had not before. And then when you're done with that, you're supposed to come back to your comfortable life and have it all make sense still. And it didn't. Not for a long time. And I know that a lot of students are like me, where you take this step outside the bubble and that a lot made sense. I don't have any statistics to back it up, but I'm fairly certain that more people probably drop out of Goshen College than at any other time. Because you have to have your world deconstructed only to come back, okay, now what? Now what do you do with that? It's sort of stepping out of the bubble of self and tradition that John is inviting us to here. He's declaring that the kingdom of God is coming as one which is beyond its simple religious personal identity. If we stay only in that, it just won't do. To give his words a more modern day, a more personal spin, imagine him saying, do not think claiming identity with men of Simons and the deep range of descendants that you treasure made the slightest difference here. God is able to birth good Mennonites from these very stones. Anabaptists from the dust of the earth. John is reminding us of the deep truths that humans are so often given to forgetting. That it's not the team that we play on that makes us holy. It's the fact that God so loved us, you and me, once and for all, that gives us identity as God's children. It's not about us, and it never has been, and it never will be. It's about God loving us. As priest and theologian Henry Nouwen once wrote, we are not loved by God because we are precious. We are precious because God loves us. We can get so preoccupied with bearing the fruit that John points us to that we can confuse the fruit that we produce for the kingdom that it's meant to reflect. John is inaugurating a new community in the muddy waters of the Jordan and inviting us to lay down that which we would hold on to and that which would keep us away from God, and to pick up our true identity as people of God's love, people of Christ's leading. He's calling us from our bubbles that would insulate us and protect us from the active sense of largeness of the kingdom of God, to declare our full and true identities as children of the living God. That is an affirmation that cannot be inherited, cannot be bought, and cannot be passively claimed in the hopes that it rubs off. Rather, he asks of us and demands of us the reaction to the response of the coming of the kingdom each and every time. We are preparing the way of the kingdom, proclaiming the arrived king who is coming again. We repent not to be worthy of the kingdom. We repent to open the space in ourselves to be part of the kingdom that is still coming. Underlying every manic word that comes out of the mouth of John is the vision of God's kingdom in the often spoken by a God who loves us and who longs for the dream of peace to become lived reality. Not just as individuals, but for the whole world, all of God's children, all of God's beloved and beautiful creation. That's what we're invited into. That's where we are led forward. The invitation of Advent is to the identity of the fullness of the kingdom of God. May we be moved into the waters of God's love to claim our identity in its fullest. That we are children of God, living in the kingdom of God, already here and coming still. Repent, turn, and be restored and made new into something that we might not even recognize. And know that all of this is embraced by the God who loves beyond all measure, then, now, and forevermore. Amen.